welcome to the inaugural episode of Wrestling with the Written Word. My name is Stephen Dickey, host of this show and also writer and lead announcer for WOW Women of Wrestling, which you can catch every Friday on WOWE.com. That's WOWE.com, and also on YouTube at youtube.com/WOWSuperheroes. That's WOWSUPERHEROES. Also, catch us on Twitter at WOW Superheroes and Facebook, Instagram, everything you could think of. It's all under the WOW Superheroes label. You can't miss it. Thank you for joining me. Again, this is the inaugural episode of my new podcast, Wrestling with the Written Word. No-brainer on the title. I'm a writer for WOW Women Wrestling, writer personality in the wrestling industry. The name just kind of fit. But basically, what I'm going to try to accomplish with this show, as you may have heard me on other podcasts, such as the WrestleMania podcast hosted by comedians Brent Terhune and Brad Scott, but what you'll hear differently from my appearances on those podcasts to this one is the fact that I will be working solo most of the time. I do plan on bringing in some people here and there, but I'll be alone for the most part. And I just want to run down some of the quick news tidbits of the day or from the past couple of days, and maybe shed a light on some of the stuff that I've been paying attention to in the world of professional wrestling, stuff that's interested me and most likely interests other people out there. So without further ado, we're going to get into it, and hopefully this format works, but I have a feeling we'll probably have to retool it along the way. To get into it right away, though, the first thing I want to talk about that's been in the news lately and been on a lot of people's minds is Ryback. Of course, Ryback going through an intense situation with WWE right now, where he is going through a contract dispute. Of course, Monday night before Raw, he was sent home. According to his blog that he posted on his Tumblr page, he asked to be granted permission to leave the tapings and to go home. And then he posted the blog and, of course, explained that he tried to say first it's not about money, but then within the same paragraph he went in to talk about how WWE pays its wrestlers, or he believes they pay their wrestlers, based on whether they win or lose their matches, which is, of course, just a falsehood. Take it from me as somebody who's been in the wrestling business, who has been around that sort of thing, who's been involved in contract negotiations, who has been involved in proceedings like that, both on my end and on the end of other personalities and other participants in shows. That's not the case. Wrestlers do not get. At least it was with WOW, and I'm from what I've heard with WWE, from people I've talked to who have been in WWE, that is not the case. Wrestlers do not get paid on a winning. On a basis of if they win or lose their matches. That is just a falsehood. Wrestlers do get paid more if they get pushed better, and of course, if you get pushed better, you typically are going to win more matches. Maybe that's what he was alluding to, but the wording he used in his blog and the post that he made, it made it sound like he believes wrestlers get paid more when they win just a single match. And again, just not true, not the case. So it'll be interesting to see what becomes of Ryback and what becomes of him in the coming weeks, in the coming months. My personal feelings on it, I totally empathize. We've all been in that position where we feel like we are undervalued and underpaid for the work that we do. That happens. That is, of course, a universal theme. And I can't fault him for standing up for himself and saying he deserves to be paid more. I get it. We all feel like that. Do I personally look at his work over the last year, which according to him, he says these contract negotiations and this stalemate has been going on for the last year since he won the Intercontinental Championship at last year's Elimination Chamber network special. And if that's the case, I don't look at his work over the last year and think he necessarily does deserve more money. I don't think he's brought his A game to the table. I think he's improved, but I don't think I don't look at him based on his performance on TV, on the pay-per-views, on the network specials, and think he does deserve a huge increase in what he's making. That being said, I like when wrestlers stand up for themselves. I like when people stand up for themselves. I think that is a good quality in people. I think that you have to do that in a setting, you know, in an employer-employee relationship. You have to be willing to stand up for yourself and stick to your guns. And I think lately wrestling has lacked that outlaw personality, that outlaw mentality. You know, when you look back at the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even the 90s, guys stuck to their guns and they demanded more money. Back then, though, there was a competition between WWE and WCW. And of course, with that competition, you had the ability to take an offer from another company and go to your employer and say, hey, this is what they're offering me, this is what I feel like I'm worth, and this is what I feel like I deserve. You need to either match it or I'm leaving. The problem with Ryback doing this, A, he's kind of off base with his claims, because like I covered, WWE does not pay wrestlers on the basis of winning one match and doesn't take money away from a guy for losing a match. It's just not true. So he doesn't have a lot of ground to stand on there. Also, there's no competition. You can't, I mean, with the financial troubles that TNA finds themselves in right now, they're not a viable prospect for Ryback to sit there and say, I'm going to go there and make the same amount of money or more and get a better push. He doesn't have any ground to stand on with that. Ring of Honor realistically cannot pay that kind of money to Ryback. So if his issue, he says it's not about money, but the first thing he mentions in the article or in his post is money. So he, you know, Ring of Honor is not going to be that option. Lucha Underground may be that option. Maybe that option, but they only film for a handful of episodes, and they really only work 1 month out of the year, and then those guys and girls go on to other promotions and make indie bookings, and that's how they make their money for the rest of the year, the other 11 months out of the year. I don't see Ryback doing that. So therefore, his only option is unless he can go to one of the promotions in Japan, and really the only one I see being able to make an offer close to WWE is New Japan. So unless New Japan just really, really, really wants to work with Ryan Reeves, I don't see Ryback having much ground to stand on. You know, people have brought up, well, maybe he goes into Hollywood and does acting and does films. We already have enough guys who do action movies, whether they're major motion picture releases, like we just saw Captain America Civil War get released, or the straight-to-DVD movies that Stone Cold Steve Austin seems to have found a niche in. I don't see Ryback being able to make a big impact doing something like that, because he's not, first off, he's not a great actor. He's never blown me away with his mic skills or his ability to perform verbally. I've never seen that potential within him. So I don't think he could necessarily make a killing acting unless he just books a lot of these supporting roles where he's a big muscular guy who's not paid to say much. So ultimately, I don't think WWE is going to want him back after this, and I don't think he's going to have much to do. I don't think he's going to be fielding many offers after this. You know, we'll see what happens with TNA. If they end up getting an investor or getting bought out, and he can find something there after they get out of their financial woes, maybe. But that I feel like we're a ways away from that. So as of now, in the current landscape of professional wrestling, I really think somebody like Ryback is better suited just negotiating and playing ball and playing fair with WWE versus trying to make waves like this. Again, I appreciate what he's doing and I see where he's coming from, but I really think he's going to be better off trying to go through the proper means of making this happen. And until he does that, until he's willing to concede that, I don't think WWE is going to be very forgiving in this situation, and I don't see WWE really wanting to negotiate with him after the kind of stunts he's been pulling lately. So, interesting situation to keep our eyes on for the next few weeks or months, however long it takes to get resolved. Moving on to Our next subject, one thing that I've been fascinated by in the past week is the fact that Eric Young, formerly of TNA, debuting on the NXT tapings last week, and I believe they just aired this week. First airing of the show was this week. Fantastic to see somebody like Eric Young, who was really just treading water in TNA and kind of just dragging his knuckles. It's nice. It's nice to see him in a new setting. It's nice to see him in a new scenery. He's working with somebody who is familiar with him in Samoa Joe. He's working with somebody he's most likely comfortable with. So this is a huge refresher for TNA, Eric Young, NXT, WWE. I really feel like every party benefits from this. Eric Young, I don't know that he'll get to the main roster. I don't see him as a main roster candidate or a candidate to be a big player on the main roster. I see if he ever gets promoted to the main roster, I see him fitting the same niche he's always fit in TNA. Mid-carder, maybe not on the comedy side of things as much as TNA played him, but consistent, consummate mid-card, reliable guy, utility guy who can get a good match out of virtually anybody. So I like Eric Young's potential in NXT, because I feel like that's where his potential lies as not a main eventer, because it's hard to say anybody's a main eventer in NXT. As a definitely a big player and a big fish in a small pond there. So I think that's a good fit. And I think he does have potential to make it to the main roster. I just don't see him setting the world on fire, and I don't see him, achieving world championship status. I don't even see him really being a viable contender to the world championship. But I think WWE would be smart in booking him strong on NXT, calling him up to the main roster, and letting him, enhance some guys, so to speak. I'm very interested to see how this goes. I've been watching. I remember when Eric Young came into TNA as part of Team Canada with Scott D'Amore and Robert Roode, A1, Johnny Devine. Great unit, had great chemistry with those guys. And then he proved, he really did. He proved that he was not a tag team wrestler. He proved that he was not just a face in a faction. He is a very good presence on the mic, and it led him to, reality TV deals with a Discovery Channel. So I say kudos to Eric Young for making this move, and I think he will benefit greatly from the change of scenery. So I'm going to be watching NXT a lot more intently than I have been. I've always been a fan of NXT, but I think now more than ever, I think when Samoa Joe beat Finn Balor and it seemed like the culmination of their feud, I really feel like it was it was kind of one of those scenarios where you shrug your shoulders like, what's next? Where do they go from here? And with the arrival of Eric Young, it was perfect timing. I think Eric Young is the perfect person for Joe to move on from Finn Balor and go on to to go on to a new feud with. I feel like this is a great situation for all involved, and I cannot wait for the next few weeks of NXT. Last thing I want to cover in this inaugural episode is the subject of Adam Rose. We started talking about Ryback and the situation he's going through with WWE. I'm going to talk about Adam Rose for a little bit. And Adam Rose is, as we all know, tested positive for a banned substance under WWE's wellness policy, was suspended for 60 days for this violation, along with Connor of the Ascension. Interesting the way this situation has played out. First, he's suspended, and we really didn't expect to hear much from him regarding the suspension, regarding the positive results of the test. It just didn't seem like it was going to be a big deal. It seemed like he was going to be suspended, and in 2 months we'll see him back on TV with Social Outcasts. That is not the case. Of course, he came out and said, first he said that what he tested positive for was not an illegal substance. It was something that he had a prescription for. And then this week he took it a step further and produced a doctor's note regarding his prescription. And his doctor, in the note, his doctor even agreed with Adam Rose and stated that he disagrees with WWE's wellness policy and the fact that Adam Rose was suspended for this substance. So it's been interesting to see Adam Rose take the situation from the shadows, from behind the scenes, and play it out so publicly. I don't necessarily agree with him playing it so publicly. I don't think it's the best decision he could have made regarding the situation. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying WWE's wrong. I don't have all of the facts, and I don't know the whole of the story, and I don't think anybody does, other than Adam Rose and the WWE officials who orchestrate these wellness policy tests. With that being said, I disagree with the fact that he's handling this so publicly. I don't think there was a need to do this publicly. I don't think there was a need to air the dirty laundry. I think if he really disagreed with this, I think he should have handled it behind closed doors. I think if he truly disagreed with this, he should have sat his family down, his wife, his kids, and explained, you know, that he did not test positive for a banned substance. He's not, you know, a drug addict by any means. And I think that's all he's trying to really convey to everybody, is that he's not some drug fiend out there, you know, doing heroin and cocaine. He just tested positive for a substance that he had a prescription for, and apparently it's a ADHD medication that he tested positive for. I don't believe he specified which one, though. Again, he should have handled it behind closed doors. He should have handled it privately and gone to WWE officials and say, look, I don't agree with this. Here is my doctor's statement. Here is what I had the prescription for. I don't think I should have been suspended for what you're suspending me for. And leave it at that. And don't really put this into a public setting. Don't make this a situation where you're dragging your employer through the mud, because that rarely works out in your benefit. You know, what employer is going to look at Adam Rose now and say, oh, okay, this is the guy who's going to cause us bad PR? It's not a good situation for him. You know, when the suspension's up in 60 days, I think best case scenario is he comes back to the main roster and he's jobbed and jobbed and jobbed. Not like he had much else going on before the suspension, but still, I think whatever possibility he had of being in the good graces of WWE management and WWE officials, he has destroyed it. I don't disagree with the fact that he disagrees with the suspension. That's fine, but he should have handled it privately. There was no need to drag this out into the public eye and make WWE look bad. So with that being said, I wish him the best of luck, of course, I hope he's able to resolve all of this and they're able to sweep this under the rug and let bygones be bygones, but I don't see this working out well for Adam Rose in the long run. And I don't think he comes back to the main roster, I'll be honest. I think the suspension ends, and shortly after, we're going to hear he's been future endeavored. So, again, I don't wish that on him. I just think due to the circumstances of the situation, I don't see him lasting much longer in WWE with the kind of waves that he's making. So, we'll keep an eye on it. I'll keep you posted. But, yeah, I don't see things working out well for Adam Rose. All right, that's going to do it for me today on this inaugural episode of Wrestling with the Written Word. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I hope to bring you more audio content in the coming weeks. We'll see how it works. You know, every day's a test. Every episode's a test. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this goes and tweaking it along the way. And hopefully you guys will leave me some feedback. Anybody interested in contacting me, you can hit me up on Twitter at sdickeywow. That's sdickeywow. Also, you can email me. It's asksdickey@gmail.com. That's asksdickey@gmail.com. I would love to hear from people. I'd love to answer some emails here on the air. That'd be a fantastic way to interact with you guys. So if you listen to the show, you have any comments, you have any questions for me, anything you want me to talk about, let me know. I'd be more than happy to. But I will see you next time on Wrestling with the Written Word. Thank you very much, and have a good day.